Some people see money as a goal. Some see it as a pursuit. Others see it for the stuff it can buy. At Thrivent, we see it as a tool that can help you live a more fulfilling life. That's why we help millions of Christians be wise with money, with advice, insurance, banking, investments, and generosity. If you'd like to join us, visit Thrivent.com. Thrivent, be wise with money.
Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Greetings.
Greetings. Welcome to Warn Radio Advocacy and Gospel News with the Watchman, Dana Smith, and me. I'm Tower. We have a great lineup for you tonight, so stay tuned. Today is February 6, 2019, and the readings in the Word this week are found in Exodus chapter 25, starting at verse 1 through chapter 27, verse 19. 1 Kings chapter 5, verses 12 through chapter 6, verse 13. And the New Testament reading is Mark chapter 3, starting at verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 41. Also Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. Go to warn-usa.com and Dana Glenn Smith. .com to read the latest articles by The Watchman and listen to all the shows. And the readings, the articles this week by The Watchman, The Testimony and Faith of Jesus Christ. At the time of the end, many will not come to Christ to find life eternal. However, he that hears this word and believes passes from death to life. Don't wait to make your decision until the resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation. This will occur, so don't wait too long, procrastinating. Also, breaking forth of the light. Breaking forth in the midst of darkness, there lay the truth, immutable. The coming of the Lord draws nigh. The kingdoms of men fall further into their own ways. The two shall clash. Unmistakably, the truths shall reveal the folly. You can listen to Warn Radio worldwide from your PC, Android, Apple device, and many other avenues. Check out the front page on warn-usa.com for our Spreaker embed and links to all the places to listen to, from like iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Blueberry, and many others. Listen to all the shows on the front page of warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. You can also listen or watch the shows from the warn-usa.com blog and also from the Spreaker or the Spreaker app. You can follow Warn Radio on Instagram and Facebook, also on Twitter, LinkedIn, Tumblr, and others. And tonight, our Advocacy, Faith, and Gospel News features announcement briefs from Turkey, Kenya, and Iraq, destitute and abused Christian widows in Pakistan, terrorists join church they tried to destroy, North Korean Christians survive intense persecution, Philippines arrest main suspect of Jolo Cathedral bombing, or Jolo, I'm not sure how to say that. So now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. Glad we can be here again tonight.
Yes, and it's cold here.
Oh,
we've got
it
a
is.
Frigid. We got snow and very, very, very cold. And January is pretty nice, but this thing came in, and of course, you get in February, it has to show you who's boss. And before you get to spring. February throws a few winter monkey wrenches at you. But we're about through it. The Lord's been good to us, got us, you know. Every week we go through and make it and get our shows up, and God has been good to us. But in our brief news, now this is kind of a new feature, but I'm doing this because I'm trying to do some quick little nuggets that sometimes there's not enough to make a full little thing about it. And in Kenya, Al-Shabaab is kind of a bigger feature. Now, see, we talk about Al-Shabaab in Nigeria. And, of course, in Nigeria, we also talk about the Fulani. Well, one thing Al-Shabaab, which is just like the, you know, ISIS or any number of radical Islamists, are making war on the known world. And in this case, the biggest problem you have is when all your young men are getting killed and your young women don't want to mate with your little warriors that you have that are getting killed, what do? Well, you recruit them, and that's what they're trying to do. And Al-Shabaab is using new tactics, and I'm sure they're not the only one. Most of the time, and this has been around the world, including in a lot of Western nations, they look in mosques and observe the radicalization and the teaching of the imams and the radical people that are there. Well, that has not been working out as well, especially with Al-Shabaab and other radical groups, because of the fact that they're getting caught and they're shutting it down. So what they've been doing is offering job opportunities and scholarships to young people to try to get them to come to work and help them. And, of course, this can present a big problem because a lot of the time the young people are just looking for an opportunity to get ahead. And so they choose it, and before they know it, they're with the terrorist group, and it's hard to get out of such a thing. So there is a warning about that. And, I mean, they will try anything, Tower, in order to get these young people.
Oh, I know. It's tragic.
And when you're, you know, get over there, there's not enough jobs anyway.
And they probably don't fulfill their promises anyway. They just say that to get them in, and probably don't have to because a lot of them get killed, unfortunately.
Well, so at any rate, they're trying to stop it in Kenya, and government spokesmen are trying to warn the parents, and they're trying to hide their bribes so the children, they can keep it quiet. But of course, you know, the kids leave and they go to these groups, and they, you know, you can't get away from them.
No.
You know. In another brief, we're talking about northern Iraq and the Yazidis. And we have been talking last week about a lot of the Christians that were in Syria and Iraq. They were suffering from the cold and stuff like that. Well, the Yazidis, the reason I picked up on this, because we covered during 2014-2015, when ISIS went through the area, we covered the tremendous slaughter at Sinjar, Mount Sinjar, and it just wasn't the Yazidis, but there was Christians and even some Muslims. There was a lot of them that were killed. But the Yazidis actually, the UN actually declared that a Holocaust type event, and they have been in a western, they fled the western part of Iraq, and most of them right now are just in places where, you know, they want to go back to Sinjar. Now, this is the problem. Most of the time, there's nothing to go back to because it's nothing but bricks because it got blown up, and we've seen a lot of these, especially the ones that end up over in Turkey and stuff. They will get in an empty building. They will have no running water. They will have no sewer. They will have nothing. And so it gets really, really tough. And, you know, I don't know where the UN is in all this. You would think the UN would be putting something up because they normally do.
Or the Red Cross or somebody.
Now, there's a lot of these groups that are around. You know, even Samaritan's Purse is doing stuff there. But you can't be everywhere at once. You know, you can only work where your contacts are at. So it's really hard to get to all these. And, of course, then we have Erdogan, which wants to establish, and they, you know, they want to get a buffer zone. And they call it a safe zone, but it's right on the certain border where the Kurds are at, and not only Kurds, but there was other Arabs there and Christians and Yazidis, among others, because they went into this area to get away from ISIS. And now they're all living there, and they kind of formed a little, I call it Rojava, a place that they wanted, an independent state. And now Erdogan wants it. And so the big problem of it is Erdogan is looking at invading northeast Syria, and many of them are really worried that when he comes in, of course, Erdogan has one of the largest armies in the Middle East. The Kurds and all of them. So it doesn't look good for the Kurds. We've known all along that Erdogan hated them. We talked about that when we were covering this in 2014, 2015. And it, you know, now because of the fact that we're pulling out of the area, although they said it's going to be slower, you know, the bottom line of it is that these former allies of ours now, along with those in that they're trying to protect, will now be suffering at the hands of Erdogan, who really has been cracking down on Christianity in Turkey, pushing his own caliphate. And that's how come Pastor Brunson got in trouble, who was later released. And then there's another guy, I can't remember his name, we reported it some time ago. And he got kicked out of Iraq. He's a missionary, but his family was still in Iraq, I mean, in Turkey. So I don't know how that story is. We've never had an update on it. But as you can see, all of this is just a mess over there. And, of course, the latest is that one of Pastor Tun, which we covered last week, Tower.
Yeah, the one that was abducted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the gospel for Asia. And, of course, the guy that is founder of that is K.P. Yohanan. Matter of fact, I think I even, let me look. Yes. He openly quotes Matthew 10:16 through 22, and every one of his pastors and his people at work, he says, you have to know Matthew 16 through 22. And he quoted this when he was talking about Pastor Tun being captured, and he said the guy had just, you know, he really did a lot of work for the Lord. He won a lot of people to the Lord. He started a lot of churches. He was very well liked, and you might know it, the devil would look him up and take him.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, the thing that passed this K.P. Yohanan, which is the head bishop over there, and I don't know what they call him, the official title, but speaking in English in a video, he said, this is the scripture, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. That's the first part. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And it goes on all the way through that he tells them that they have to know, because, you know, that's exactly what happens a lot of times. And we saw that throughout the 2014-2015 ISIS event. And every week we see it. And we report on it. And pastors I mean, the Fulani is another example. So at any rate, Pastor Tun was martyred. He was killed. I don't see anywhere where it says that they got his body back, but he left a wife and three children. One of them just a baby, and, you know, only God knows what they're going to do now.
And he was just one of the ones killed.
There were several others
who had been kidnapped by the rebel army as well.
And this is the way these rebels work. Of course, they're in that Rohingya area, and of course you've heard of the Rohingya. A bunch of them have been oppressed as well, and some of them have managed to escape. But this is Myanmar, and or Burma, rather. This is just a mess.
Oh, you know, it's horrible.
It is. You know, people can't live, you know, like this. And, you know, every time I see this, I'm reminded of the vision, open vision I had. I had three of them many, many years ago. And one of them, I was in a line looking down a long line as long as you could see. And there were people standing there who were Christians, and they were all dying for their faith. And I've been witnessing that literally for years and years and years. I was never told the exact timing of it. In the three visions, I was told that all these things, when you begin to see them come to pass, then you'll know. And I'm not going to tell you any more about it, but the bottom line of it is, it's just like, you know, I'm at the, I've had enough department, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to see any more people killed.
For sure.
You know, when I seen ISIS go through the Middle East, I was so sick of bloodshed and people getting killed and murdered, because there was some real, vivid videos. And I'll never forget the one I seen years ago, and you know it well. I've told you enough about it. Three little Indonesian Christian girls were beheaded, and they had taken a picture of their bodies laying there in the jungle without no heads on them, and they were killed because they went to school, and this radical Islamic group didn't want girls or women going to school, so they killed them, and because they were Christian, they got targeted.
That's so ignorant.
You know, and you just get to the point to where you say, where is the nations? Where are the nations? You know, why do they allow these groups? Why don't they start at one end of the globe and get the biggest army you could find and go through every piece of jungle, everything, and absolutely kill every last one of these morons? But you can't. It's impossible. Matter of fact, none of this is able to be controlled by man, because the Lord said that unless he shortens the days, there will be no flesh left alive. So, you know, we're just in the beginning of this, folks. It does get tiring, you know, going through this and seeing these poor people, you know, just getting slaughtered.
Oh,
for no reason.
Yeah.
For no reason at all. And you have these Muslims who are doing it, or they're radical Buddhists, or they're, you know, radical something else. And in China, they're just communists. You know, they don't have it. In North Korea, they're just unbelieving, godless people. You know, they don't believe in anything except emperor worship. You know, and that's the way it goes in the world. It's just like, how can people be that way?
Oh, I know.
You know, how can you be in charge of a country and you don't care whether people get killed and imprisoned for life? You don't care what happens to them.
Yeah, no regard for the human.
No. So, all I can say is my hope, one day, the Lord will be back and he will right every wrong that has ever been done against anybody like that.
Yes, that's right.
Because we can't stop it. And we're weak, you know, human beings, we see this and it's just gut-wrenching. And, you know, some of the images that I've seen in reporting this in the times past, the vivid images, you know, right now we don't see them as much, but in the old days we had a lot of them. And there's no describing what it does. And, you know, you see a pastor like this guy who is really making a difference and going forth in faith. And he probably knew that he was going to his death when he went, but he goes forth as sheep, you know, in the midst of wolves, you know. He's going to go tell them about the love of the Lord, and if he gets killed, he gets killed. And it just, you know, and then I look at the American church and the Western church, you know, in general, you know, the UK, even the EU, you know, and I look at all of this and I see our politics and our just pure bull that we do. And yes. I think to myself, you people, you know, God help you. When God judges America and some of these other countries, it's going to be pretty bad, folks. Because we are frankly not even in the same league as some of these. You know, when you talk about what true Christianity is, you think true Christianity is Pat Robertson on CBN. And I like Pat, but no, that's not. That's show business. That's Christian show business. And he does share the gospel, and thank God he does. But that's not the truth as we see it around the world. It's in your face. It's dangerous. And it costs you every day to live for Jesus Christ. It costs you your life, your family, your children, everything you have, everything you've ever wanted. And we've seen it time and time again. And we see the spoiled brats in America. And we see Hollywood with their big mouth and all their money. And just like Trump said on that really good SOTU speech, the State of the Union, he says, many of you have money, you live in big houses, and you surround them with fences and walls to stay safe. See, in America, and much of the Western world, even our churches have the same thing. God help you when this comes to this country.
Well, I don't look forward to it.
No, I don't either. But dear God in heaven, do you think because you're in America or you're in the UK or you're somewhere else, you're not going to see this? I just shake my head when I think God is up there and he's watching the slaughter of his people around the world, and he looks at America and we're fat, we're sassy, we're spoiled brats, and we have huge churches, we sit on comfortable pews, and we don't know what it's like to go through what the rest of the world is going. Now see, God isn't going to hold you accountable for living like that, but he is going to hold you accountable when you don't give of your money and give of your prayers and give of your love to help ministries on the ground support these people that are dying every day around the world for the cause of Christ. Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me, and that will be judgment on you. And that soft-seated pew where you sit every Sunday for just 1 hour to listen is not going to save your butt. Did you pick up the cross? Did you put it down? What have you done with it? Do you have compassion and love for those who are going through these things? It's time to wake up, America and the world. Because I can tell you one thing. I am sick to death watch these poor people get killed, but we are in the beginning. Now, another thing we're doing, and you read the title of the Christian Widows in Pakistan. Man, talk about the people that we've discussed, the real issues.
I know.
You know, a little boy, I remember the picture of him. He was surrounded by some older Muslims, and he was a Christian. They asked him if he was a Muslim, and he said no, he was a Christian. They threw him in the brick kiln, where he was burned to death. There was another couple who was accused of blasphemy, and they killed him, and then threw their bodies in the brick kiln. This is Pakistan.
Left four children.
Because, you know, in the brick kiln, they had owed money, and they were working there doing these bricks, and they're never able to make enough money to pay off the small loan in order to stop being a slave. Many of them don't have a way to get hospitalization unless they go to a money lender who then sells them to, you know, somebody like the brick kiln. And they go into servitude for life unless they can find a way to pay it off. And there's a lot of Christians that are like that. And then, of course, you have India and her caste system. And the lowest caste, many of them are Christians. They work the dirtiest, most dangerous jobs in India for practically nothing. Some of them earn just a pittance. And like they said, this is Nyla, a Christian widow. We do not even have enough money to live, but we have a strong belief in our Lord Jesus Christ that He'll provide for us because He is our provider.
Amen, and He will.
And she earns 95 cents a day, not enough to cover her family's basic needs and her daughter's school's supply. Her misery was so great, she tried to commit suicide four times, and then she's determined to live for the sake of her children. Here's another one they talk about. This woman is a widow with six children. And she used to work as a hospital cleaner, but one day a male nurse asked her to sleep with him. When she refused, he banned her from the maternity ward. And it was in the maternity ward where cleaners would be given tips by the patients. So she doesn't make the money now. You know, she's not making much at all, but one day she had just 20 cents. So she put 7 cents in the church offering and left herself with 14. And on that day, a man of the Lord was distributing money in the emergency ward to all cleaning staff, and he gave me money, and I bought flour and bread. That day I was very thankful to my Lord for providing money, since I was left with no food.
Amen.
I remember of that story in the Gospels about the woman who paid everything she had.
Yeah.
You know, these stories are happening today, folks. Now, that particular story comes from Barnabas Aid. And Barnabas Aid is just one of the particular organizations that work on the ground. So if you want to help them help widows, Christian widows, you can go to barnabasaid.org. You know, I don't even know what that's like.
Oh, I know.
You know, we get down. You know, I mean, 14 cents a day. In America, that's not even enough to do anything.
No, you can't even buy a piece of bubblegum.
You know, we've had people that begged on the streets in our American cities that actually made a good living, and that's actually what they like to do.
I think that's a shame. That's embarrassing.
Just unbelievable. So folks, tonight, I'm lifting these up before you. Whatever you do before God. And if you're already helping and giving, that's fine. I'm not here to condemn anybody, but I'm here telling you. This is part of our advocacy broadcast. Advocating, making known, letting you know. Pass this program around. Let people hear. Towering, you've got something now?
Yes, this is a story about terrorists joined church they tried to destroy. This is about Ibrani. He's a young man from a Orthodox Muslim family in the Middle Eastern kingdom, and he's always strictly followed the rituals and principles of Islam. And he was very close to one of his sisters, and she became a Christian through the ministry of Bibles for the Mideast. And her husband and children also became Christians and were baptized, and they became members of the ALG church. And this, his sister evangelized whenever was possible. And Ibrani tried his level best to bring the sister and her family back to Islam, but they would explain to him that they knew Jesus was not only a great prophet, as Muslims believe, but the living Lord and Son of the Most High God. And he was born to the Virgin Mary as a sinless man to take away sins of all humanity. He was crucified on the cross of Calvary and served to take away the penalty of sin. He died and rose from the dead on the third day. Only by believing in him and accepting him as Lord and Savior can you be free and obtain salvation. This is what she told her brother. And they invited him to meet the pastor and attend the worship service. But he would have none of it. And he became their sworn enemy. And he was determined to free his region of the scourge of the Christian and their church. So he joined up with a group of militants. He formulated a plan to attack and destroy their meeting place. His mother, brother, and father, and other sisters all offered their total support. And they were going to pour petrol on the church during a worship service in hopes of burning the place down. And of course they received the backing of both local and religious police, who in turn knew about the church, but they hadn't been able to do anything to stop them because the police weren't able to find out where they would meet. And so of course the police were delighted with this information. And Ibrani and his team collected a large container of petrol, and Ibrani kept it in his own house, and they planned to carry out the attack on the church on the next Sunday worship. And around midnight on Saturday, the men noticed a fire developing over the petrol jar and watched in horror as it began spreading to the parts of the house near it. They screamed to waken Ibrani's family sleeping in other rooms, and they all woke immediately and ran to safety. Then suddenly, to their amazement, a man appeared from within the fire. "I am the Lord of heaven and earth. I dwell in the light which no one can come near. I am also the burning fire. I can finish you off now, for I am the author of life and death. But I didn't come to the world to destroy, but to redeem each of you from sin and death. I died for you on the cross of Calvary, and I rose from the dead. Believe in me and follow me, and you will have salvation and eternal life." He then disappeared as quickly as he had materialized, and the burning fire subsided as well. And no one, not even Ibrani, doubted that this was this Jesus that his sister had told him about. And they prostrated themselves forehead to the ground, convinced now in the truth of the message she had shared. And while the church had met for prayer and fasting on Friday, the pastor had a revelation and three members had prophesied about a great tribulation coming to the church, and the prophecies warned them to move their meeting place immediately to somewhere far away, even showing them where exactly to go. And it turns out the religious police intended to arrest the pastor and church members that Sunday if the militants' plans had failed. And now Ibrani's family members and his band of former militants contacted his sister and brother-in-law that same night of the visitation, and they met with the pastor and shared all that happened, and the pastor taught him more about Jesus and the gospel throughout the night, and everyone accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And as the morning dawned, they all refreshed themselves and traveled to the new worship location for Sunday service. Once there, they openly declared their new faith in Jesus and joined in worship with the other believers. The church rejoiced in the Lord for His amazing works. He's still at it, isn't He?
Wow, yeah,
thank God. Our God is an amazing God, beyond amazing.
And see, that's when, you know, in other areas, we're getting these reports from different ministries as well. And there is no doubt that although the blood is being shed, the ones who die for Christ, as Christ Himself said, not a hair of their head shall perish.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
So although in our flesh we feel bad and we feel weak and we hate the blood and the death of brethren, in the end, they don't die. They're glorified. They die in faith.
That's right.
And Christ will restore them in a new body. Meanwhile, He is doing miracles and signs and wonders. Now, in another one, this one out of CBN, and I might add that I brought that up because CBN does a good job of bringing the Christian news and other things. I have no problems with that at all. But see, there is a difference here between our American and our Western Christianity and what we see around the world. For instance, they brought forth an article on North Korean Christians. Now, we've covered North Korea many different times, and we've seen Americans that were held, pastors that were held there, and finally released. And there was a couple of them released as a result of this latest thing that Trump did with Kim Jong-un. Now, in South Korea, a lot of these North Koreans defect and go down there. And this particular one describes quietly singing Christian hymns every Sunday while someone stood watch for informers. If they find you doing anything like this, you're instantly thrown in a camp, and they throw the whole family. A second cowered under a blanket or in the toilet when praying in the north. Yet another defector recalls seeing a fellow prison inmate who'd been severely beaten for refusing to repudiate her religion. Now, these accounts were from interviews with the AP, and it provided a window into the underground church in North Korea. And, of course, in North Korea, it's what I call the time of the night. Now, folks, the Lord warned of the time of the night. Matter of fact, the time of the night occurred even with Him, when the powers of darkness took over and He could no longer work. Instead, He was going to the cross and He was being persecuted. In North Korea, they don't go out and engage in witnessing and other kinds of activities for the Lord. Most of them do one thing. It's the time of the night, and they try to stay alive and not get killed or murdered or arrested. The time of the night has fallen in a number of nations around the world. Some of them, the time of the night is really, really bad, like it is in North Korea and now again in China. But even within all of these, in China, for instance, there is a whore church ready and willing to take all the Christians if they will just adhere to the whore. They won't do it. Now, you get up into North Korea, a woman who, again, was interviewed, said she had converted 10 of her relatives and neighbors and held secret services before finally defecting to the South. She said, "I wanted to build my church and sing out as loud as I could," the woman said, who is now a pastor in Seoul. She insisted on only being identified with her initials, HY, because she didn't want to worry, have caused problems for her family and the converts in the North. And of course, this is the way it is in North Korea. And it's just an amazing thing when we look at this and see in such an area, Christians are still able to do this, to have a faith in the middle of such persecution. You know it, Tower?
Oh, it is. It's amazing. And thank God they do. And you know, it used to, Christians used to be a flourishing population in the 50s, you know, early 50s before the Korean War. And it has withered because of the successive clampdowns against a faith that the government sees as a U.S.-led Western threat. And one woman said that, or person said, there is absolutely no religious freedom in North Korea.
And they even said that they do have churches in, and they're just show churches to make people from the West think that you're able to go to church.
Right.
But nobody's
right.
Able to go to church.
And they think that most of the remaining Christians in North Korea likely learned about the religion when they went to China after a devastating famine killed hundreds of thousands in the mid-90s. 1990s, I remember that.
Yeah. So at any rate, North Korea is always on the agenda, number one in the persecution list.
For like 18 years in a row. That's a record to be proud of, isn't it?
The Philippines, again, they did catch the guy, or the people, responsible for the cathedral bombing.
Yeah, that's good.
And I might add that, and I've said this before, that when these people start looking for Christians to kill, they don't care what the denomination is.
That's right.
They don't care whether they're Catholic or Protestant. They don't care whether they're Catholic, any kind of brand of Catholic, or any kind of Protestant, whether they're Baptist or Full Gospel, Assembly of God, or whatever. If you are in a church and you worship the name of Jesus Christ and you consider yourself a Christian, that's good enough to get you killed. And so for this cathedral, that's what happened. Now, of course, they found five of them who did take part of this. And, of course, they are part of a group, Abu Sayyaf, which we've talked about.
Yep.
And, of course, they had plotted this. It was a twin suicide bombing at the Our Lady of Mount Carmel Cathedral. And it wounded 100 and killed 22. And see, it doesn't matter to them that, well, they're Catholics and the Protestants may not think that they're Christians. And we have all kinds of problems with all of the different things. I'm not here debating that. I'm here telling you that Scripture tells us if you lose your life for the Lord's sake and the gospel, you will find that life. You won't lose it. And that, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're in a cathedral and believe in Jesus or you're somewhere else.
That's right.
And especially during the time of ISIS, we saw that. Because they didn't care who they killed, really. Whether it was Christians, whether it was Yazidis, or whether it was Muslims, or some other Arab. They didn't care. So at any rate, and we did hear from some of our, you know, a friend. We do have friends down in the Philippines. And, you know, a long time ago, when we talked about this other uprising in the area, down in the southern Philippines, and they took over a town down there. It was well known, and of course, our contacts down there had talked about that. And it's still the same. And so the Philippines, again, is really in a mess. Of course, they're trying to do a caliphate for, you know, the Islam that's down there. And it was rejected. And there was a problem with all of it. And so that's why Abu Sayyaf had attacked. And, of course, there is some form of a caliphate there now that has problems for Christians as well. But the Filipino government is monitoring the situation, but it is a mess. You know, you can't trust any of the caliphates like that. History and all the news that we've done, Christians get killed that way every time. Every time. Don't they, Tower?
They do. They do.
All the time. So we've got something else. You got another one?
I do. This story comes to us from Gospel for Asia. And this is about Prina. She was a typical woman, lived a typical village life. She was devoted to her religion, was married, and had two sons. But then tragedy struck. She started noticing discolored patches on her skin, and she ignored it, not knowing what it was. But then the lesions became numb, and fear crept into her heart. And when she was not able to hide it any longer, she told her husband, and he took her to the hospital right away. And after testing, she was given a diagnosis of leprosy. And she wasn't immediately cast out by her family, like many in Asia are. But soon after her diagnosis, her husband was murdered by a neighbor over a land dispute. And now she lived a double curse life. Leprosy and widowhood. She had to move in with her youngest son, and he supported her. Prina would work in the field with her son and his family to help ease the burden of her support, and they earned very little money. And they often had to go without food. And when Prina began to experience more physical symptoms of leprosy, of course, the community and family shunned her. And as her symptoms became worse, the news of her disease among her relatives and other village people spread. And so the relatives and even her son and his family kept her distance. She was kept their distance. She was banished to one room of her son's house, and no one dared to enter there. The only interaction she had was with the family was when they came to her door to deliver her daily meal. And for 3 years, she took her medication to control the leprosy, but soon the money ran out, and they weren't able to get any more. And despite being provided for free worldwide since 1995 by the World Health Organization, access to the drug therapy wasn't available in her community, where it's needed most. And her money dried up, and she turned to the local witch doctor and herbal medicines looking for healing, a healing that didn't come. And the disease continued to ravage her body. And one day she was laying outside, and these women came up and started talking to her. And of course she knew they were Christians, so she didn't want to have anything to do with them. She despised Christians. And the ladies were praying for her silently. And then they made a move to leave, and suddenly Purina shifted. She thought, nobody comes to visit me, and at least these sisters have come to me. She threw down her hostility and opened up to the ladies and pouring out her pain. And she shared how leprosy had flipped her whole life upside down. And she shared the mental anguish she endured in isolation and seeing the fear and repulsion in the eyes of those she loved most. And she told them, even my own relatives and children hate me. They don't come near me. For whom shall I live now? I do not want to live and want to end my life. And Soma, one of the ladies, felt Prina's desperate anguish as the hurting woman shared her experience of rejection. And the pastor's wife encouraged her from the Word of God. If no one loves you, there is one God who loves you more than anyone, and he wants to heal you from your disease. Do you want to know who that person is? That is our Lord Jesus. And suddenly hope dawned in Prina's heart, and she wanted to know more about Lord Jesus, who loved her. The desire for love and acceptance opened the doors to Prina's heart that were previously fastened shut. And so they invited her to a worship service, and she went. Shyly, she stepped through the doors, and they prayed with her and encouraged her and gave her hope. And they showered love on her. And after the service, the congregation gathered around to pray for her healing. And later that week at a fellowship gathering, Prina once again experienced acceptance and fervent prayers for healing. She felt so much joy, and her faith in the Lord began to increase. And slowly she noticed changes, not only in her heart and mind, but in her body as well. The pain in the extremities began to subside, and gradually the marks of the disease faded. After a few months of steadfast prayer, the Lord touched Prina's body and brought complete healing. She was filled with joy, and praise followed from her heart to her lips. And her son was shocked at the miracle in his mother's life, and he did not know that Jesus had such power. And so he and his family joined the mother at church. And they praise God, who does the impossible. And they're actively engaged in the local church. And they were very thankful to Sister Soma, who came to visit her, and how her life has changed. I'm extremely thankful to God, who has healed me from this dangerous disease. God made the impossible possible. And her entire family praises God for his miraculous intervention. That's just amazing, isn't it?
That's a great story.
It is. And that's going on all around us. That's just one of probably the thousands of stories that we don't hear about.
Well, you know, John G. Lake, who had a healing ministry, when he would talk to people about receiving the Lord, he'd talk to anybody, whether they had a sickness or a disease, and he would tell them that if you become a Christian and seek the Lord, he will heal you. You will be healed of your disease. And that was one of his, what he would tell them. And people would accept the Lord and they would get healed. And matter of fact, they even did investigated him because of his healing centers. And they couldn't find anything wrong with him, you know. Now, it was John G. Lake who was in that, I can't remember, it was in Africa. There was a plague that hit. And he didn't have anything except what he had on his back. And he stayed there and ministered to the people. And he never did get sick. And then towards the end of it, he found a brother who was willing to pray with him. And they prayed, and the brothers saw the demons that were walking among the villagers in a vision, and that they had to pray and continue to pray. So anyway, to make a long story short, he made it through that, and a lot of the villagers were delivered and healed, and that plague lifted. And that was one of the things John G. Lake...
Well, is that the time when he would just go in the river? They didn't have any soap, and he would just...
Yeah.
Wash his clothes in the water.
Because they told him he needed to wash.
Yeah.
He didn't have nothing to wash with. He didn't have nothing. And, you know, we've lost a lot of that.
Oh, we have.
And
we've become complacent in America.
And I do see a resurgence, even in America. But we need to shake off the lethargy. The lethargy, you know.
We do.
Lethargic nature. And we need to wake up. And this
we
is...
We all do. Amen.
You know, these two stories we did tonight are the positive part of the gospel going forth.
It's amazing. It's encouraging to hear those stories, too, that we know that God is still at work on the throne.
And, of course, we did talk about Pastor Tan. I had him lined up to talk about, but... We did that, and so when we talk about, you know, the brethren overseas, it's more than just Christians that are dying and persecuted. The enemies of God are getting saved. And that's why the Lord said, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Pray for those who despitefully use you. That's hard to do.
Yes, it is.
And in America, we have a hard time with that ministry. And in America, God's grace and His blessing on this country has been second to none. But folks, to whom much is given, much is required. And I fear the day when a refining fire will come through America, and I look at it and I think, will there be anybody left? And then I think again to myself, and I said, yes, the Lord will redeem His people.
Amen.
And so there is hope tonight. And if you've got people that are not on fire or backsliding, pray for them. If you have people that need the Lord, believe they can be reached. And be sure never to forget the brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, because that could be you next.
Yes, it could be.
So with that, we're going to be closing her out.
Well, I wanted to tell about this little boy that I heard about today.
Go ahead.
He told his mother that we shouldn't worry because we have God. I think that's funny. That's truth out of the mouth of babes.
Yeah, that's right. A little boy.
Yeah, that's good.
This young woman. It was her son who told her.
Yeah.
Because she was kind of concerned, and that's what he said, out of the mouth of babes. Thank God for babes.
Yes, that's right.
So with that, remember, the Lord, everything is possible. With man, many things are impossible. But you don't serve man.
Amen.
You serve the Lord.
That's right.
And all things are possible with this God through Christ. If you have faith and you can believe, God is no respecter of persons today. Seek his face. This is the Watchman.
Good night, everybody. Be sure to join us tomorrow night for Battle Lines. And we will be back in John's Revelation of Jesus Christ, Part 13, Two Beasts. So be sure to join us tomorrow night for that. And God bless you. We love you. We pray for you. And thank you for all you do for the King. Good night.
Yes, good night, everybody. Shalom. We thank you for joining us today on Warn Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Can your faith inform your financial values? The short answer? Yes. At Thrivent, we help millions of Christians be wise with money with advice, insurance, banking, investments, and generosity. Visit Thrivent.com. Thrivent. Be wise with money.
It's the semi-annual sale at Mattress Firm. For a limited time, get huge savings of up to $500 on our top-rated mattresses. We have more than 15 beds with over 4-star ratings on sale store-wide. Like our fan-favorite Serta Memory Foam Queen mattress, now just $397. You won't find this deal anywhere else. But hurry in, this sale ends Tuesday. Your budget stretches further at Mattress Firm.
Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.